Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. First of all, welcome to Baker McKenzie. This is probably a little bit of a different environment than everybody thought we were going to be in when we first brought you on board and wanted to give you a great summer. So we're going to do our best this summer to give you a fantastic experience in the region from the transactional practice group and all other practices. So welcome. I hope you get a fantastic experience this summer. My name's David. I'm the head of the Corporate and Securities Practice Group, which is now the Transactional Practice Group in the Toronto office. And with me today is Catherine Strong. Catherine, you can, wait, there you are. And she is in Chicago, which a number of you will find yourself in. That's the largest group, I believe, of our summer group this year in the Chicago office, which is usually the case. So what we wanted to do just briefly today, we don't have a lot of time with you, but, and we know other offices individually will be doing also targeted training and particular practice group training as well. Catherine and I wanted to just basically give you a very high level overview of the North American Transactional Practice Group, which encompasses all the offices in Canada, the US, and in Mexico. And so shortly, I'm going to share my screen. There'll be a number of slides, but we'll go through them very quickly just to give you a high level overview. What Catherine and I hopefully want to have happen is a number of you, given the large number of you, hopefully some of you will have questions and we'll be able to answer them about what life in the group will be like, what it's like for students and associates, and for those of you doing the summer program from Toronto, what life would be like as a summer associate, but also as an articling student. That being said, always in large groups, people sometimes are a little bit hesitant to speak up. So feel free to either use the, I believe there's a chat function. You can send a question, you can send it individually to us. You can send it, I believe, anonymously, or you can just say, don't say it's me and we won't say your name for sure. We'll just say, thanks for the question. And then we'll read out the question and provide you with our answer. So I think with that, Catherine, maybe we'll just get to it and I'll share my screen. And then as we go along, feel free to interrupt or if you have questions. And let's see if I can do this properly. I'm a kid of the 70s, so I still learn technology as it goes along. Let's see here. There we go. How's that? Does everybody see that screen? The North American Transactional Practices?
Yes. It's good.
Yes. Great. Okay. So largely our group, which is now called the Transactional Practice Group in North America, it's made up of a number of practice groups. There is our M&A practice, the capital markets practice, what we refer to as CBTI, the cross-border transactions and integration practice, our private equity practice. There is banking and finance, major projects, there's real estate, restructuring and insolvency, and even environmental. So we're just going to sort of give you a zoom through it and just give you a sense of the flavor of what we do in the region in this transactional practice group. And then we'll also be able to give you a sense of how typically students are involved in the day-to-day life of the practice group. And then obviously, if you have questions. So before our integration, which I'll talk to that afterwards, after this quick overview, there were a number of groups that were sort of in the two buckets in terms of the corporate and securities practice group, and then also the banking and finance and major practice group. And then once we put them all together, so I'll just start off the corporate and securities practice group. You see, those are the 15 offices that we have in North America. The 190 is now even larger given the integration of the groups, but those are the areas that I sort of briefly talked about. Our M&A practice, as what you would expect an M&A practice to be, both the mergers, acquisitions, the buy side, the sell side. We do in North America some very small transactions in terms of technology startup companies. I do a lot of biotech work. And then there's also the very large, big billion-dollar transactions. And then Catherine can also give you a little bit of an overview on where that comes in. Also in the CBTI space, which apart from the reorganizations that go on in the CBTI group, there is also an M&A component as well. And whether that is from the start to finish or at any particular instance in between, that group does a lot of great work for a lot of great companies around the world and really integrates our whole Baker platform across all 78 offices sometimes in multi-jurisdictional transactions. So because students always like to see big name clients and big name deals, we thought we would just show you in terms of some of our work that we do. A number of these companies you'll be very familiar with and probably have eaten at if you see the golden arches there. These are some of the highlights that we've done over the past year. Our capital markets practice, and that is securities, stock exchanges, public offerings, private offerings. I do largely capital markets work for biotech companies. It's companies raising money to fund their trials. It's also just in terms of raising money to fund our M&A transactions, if that's what they're looking for. There's private M&A, public M&A sort of fundraising, Blue Sky, if you're familiar with those are sort of securities compliance and making sure that people are on side on securities regulations. You'll see there, it says PIPES, that's private investment in public enterprises. That sort of is a mix of the two sort of, and that's in the US. Canada, very similar. We also do fund formation in Canada, which is part of our smaller group in Canada that I'll then go through on the public, the private equity side as well. Things like advising investment banks and securities dealers on their regulatory compliance. And Mexico also as well. We have a fairly vibrant capital markets practice in Mexico. These are the very large clients that we deal with. Some are capital markets dealers, and some are companies and clients that we've acted for in the capital market space as well. Some very large deals. You'll be familiar with a number of these names. Abbott, obviously a very longstanding client since day one of the Baker firm. I mentioned our CBTI practice, which is cross-border transactions and integration. Catherine, if you want to give maybe just a brief high-level overview of what that practice usually involves. I'll just flip to this usual our practice strength side, but you can give
sounds good. Thanks, David. Sure. So as David mentioned, typically these are very large projects that span multiple jurisdictions, and often they occur in the framework of M&A and many times multi-billion dollar acquisitions or divestitures for some of the firm's biggest clients. Because of the cross-border nature of these engagements, our firm is, you know, we really excel at this work, and we're quite prominent in the market for handling major cross-border engagements. So usually these types of engagements occur in connection with large acquisitions or divestitures of multi-jurisdictional or global businesses. So to give an example, our clients will often come to us in connection with acquiring a large multinational business, for example, and they'll say, okay, now we have duplicate supply chains, we have duplicate distribution channels, we have duplicate legal entities, you know, in each of the countries where we had an existing footprint before we did the deal, and where the business that we acquired also had an existing footprint. So we're trying to combine A and B businesses together and make them more efficient, you know, and then the request of us is, can you help us streamline our operations and our legal structure? Seems like that would be a pretty simple thing to do on paper. But as you can imagine, it's incredibly, incredibly difficult and time consuming. And when you add in the requirement to comply with, you know, various legal regimes around the world, in particular, if you start to move employees or if the business involved or the companies involved are in a regulated industry, those kind of additional complexities make the work very, very difficult to carry out. And it's part of the reason why Baker has such a nice reputation in the market for really excelling on those types of engagements, is that we have boots on the ground with the expertise to help on these major engagements. So the slide shows kind of some of the things that we do in the practice. The next slide shows some of the clients that we work for, you know, typical large multinational companies. And then the next slide shows that, you know, these are often related to sort of pivotal M&A experiences for our clients. And the, you know, the goal is to be both the M&A counsel of record for those clients and also the counsel selected to help with the post-acquisition integration if it's an acquisition or a buy-side deal. And our firm is winning a lot of those engagements and representing clients on both the deal and the CBTI component, which is a big, big win for us.
Yeah, and I would say, Catherine, would you say it's not uncommon probably to have sometimes 40 or 50, if not more, of the Baker offices around the world involved in some of these major reorganizations or transactions?
Absolutely. I mean, we, we've done that when Abbott and AbbVie separated, we were engaged on that work. Baxter and Baxalta separated, and we were engaged on that work. And I believe Baxter, Baxalta was over 100 different countries. I mean, they're a global pharmaceutical company, so they operate in pretty much every major market around the world. So yes, right, there right. are a lot of markets.
Yeah. One thing, the great thing about the CBTI, you see this strategy emphasis slide, you'll notice there's a lot of aspects on here in terms of things that, you know, precedents, SharePoint, pricing tools, a lot of great tools that the firm uses even in other areas have come from the CBTI sort of practice in terms of how to make things more efficient for clients to get their deals done and how we can develop to deliver that more efficiently in terms of staffing. You'll see there where it says Tampa. You'll hear over the course of the summer, I'm sure, about our Belfast operation as well. These are really great tools that the firm has grown organically in order to deliver some top-notch service, but at the same time, obviously recognizing that our clients are also looking for efficiency and cost savings where possible so that we can tell them, hey, we not only can do this, but we can do this better. And here's where you can get all of this, the entire firm at a really attractive price point. So I think that's, you know, the CBTI team, especially in the precedent development, a lot of great initiatives going on right now. So to the extent anybody's interested in wanting to pitch in or learn more about that, this is certainly an area that is definitely a main focus for the firm in the region, definitely, but also some really great work going on in both knowledge management, precedent development, and just client service as well, I would say. So thanks for that, Catherine. And then we'll come back to a couple of things in terms of where you use students sort of on a daily basis or how they typically are used on some of these transactions and where they can help pitch in. Just to quickly go through, I realize it's already 4:15, so we'll motor through this so that we have time for Q&A. But I mentioned we have a very large growing private equity and funds practice. In terms of dealing with private equity funds and fund sponsors, either on the fund formation side and advising fund sponsors, and also downstream investments. We act for investors often in making investments in companies or actually raising the funds itself. Certainly someone like Kristen Gonzalez in Chicago, who is a very vibrant practice with Addie Brendel in Chicago as well. And they've got some really key clients that they act for. Here's some examples. And I'm happy to send this around to people in case they have anything, if they want to get further information. Just where I mentioned, we do the fund formation, review of documents, whether it's involved in joint ventures, World Sky reports, expanding, you know, management buyouts, dealing with portfolio companies. And then of course, these private equity firms always have an exit plan and how we advise them on their exit plan and structuring those investments, whether then it becomes a public offering side of things or just a sale. The other major side of then the transactional practice group, which used to be on its own, is our banking and finance and restructuring insolvency projects group. We have a number of areas. There's environmental as well. You see these are some of the areas that we touch on that we have teams that focus on a daily basis and for our clients, both globally and within the region and in the US. Debt leveraged finance, project finance. We've got sustainable finance, which is a big player now that more and more clients around the globe are focusing on. A lot of our banking clients are also looking at sustainable finance as well. Securitizations, which has always been there. Pretty much all the big names in the industry that we somehow have worked on for one aspect or another. Various deals, you can see maybe major Canadian banks, major companies, BBVA, Bank of America, of course, which we've also acted on in the capital market space on a number of times. Restructuring insolvency is probably even getting more attention these days, given everything that's happening in the world economy and various clients as they either have to restructure or seek protection. So obviously we act for companies, there's distressed M&A as well, bankruptcy litigation. We have also acted on the creditor side as well, depending on the relationship. And this will be definitely, over the last few months, a number of our restructuring insolvency colleagues, Deb Dandino leads that out of New York. Certainly my colleague in Toronto, Mike Nguyen, they have definitely been busier over this last COVID time of the year, where companies are really looking at either saving what they can or restructuring to be coming out the other side. Again, some of our clients and some, this on the R&I space definitely is probably changing on a daily basis, given everything that's going on and all the corporate actions that's happening. But these are just some of the highlights. Although they probably wouldn't consider them highlights. We consider them highlights, but maybe the clients are just looking to get out of the way. So our projects practice, which is also another increasing aspect, which is sort of project finance, big major projects, renewable energy and financing, oil and gas M&A, power purchase agreements. This is where the P3 come in. There's a good team in New York, Chicago, also in Toronto, Pete Richardson in Toronto, and some associates in our group. Lots going on this year in the project space. Just finished on a major deal for Diff Capital Partners. We're always acting on GE Renewable Energy. There's Brookfield as well. So a lot of great deals happening in this space. And again, this is obviously a very high 10,000 foot overview. Certainly, as you go through the next 5 weeks, you'll be immersed in the life of these various transactions likely. And of course, if you always have any questions, please let us know. This is the energy side of things that we deal with. And then real estate, this really goes everything from commercial real estate to construction to then the hotels, resorts, and tourism industry, real estate funds as well. That works with our funds group. But as you can imagine, also the hotels, resorts, and tourism side of things has had a lot of activity this year, given the environment and in terms of how these companies deal with the environment that they're in right now, especially in North America and in the US, given where COVID is at these days. And these are just some more. I'll just quickly, environmental, which everybody doesn't necessarily assume will be part of a corporate transactional practice group, but it is. Various things that our group sort of handles, whether it's litigation, product regulatory, corporate compliance for companies and their environmental obligations, and then just advising on various global environmental aspects and how it affects them. All these very big names, obviously, in the natural resources, but also companies like you see there, FedEx, and United Nations Global Compact, which is a huge partnership that the firm has with the United Nations. Various deals here on the environmental side. And that is that. Now, one more I'm just going to send to you that I'm going to share with you is, I can do this quickly here. Let's see if I can do this. And okay. And this one. Okay. So I mentioned that we used to have all these groups sort of as separate practice groups and under somewhat, you know, there were two big umbrellas, banking, finance, major projects, and then the corporate and securities practice group. And in May of this year, the region decided to sort of combine these groups and really so that the practices really benefit from each other and what everybody sort of can learn from each other, both on a business development front, but also just in delivering services. So that was essentially what we were looking to get out of, is really combine all the transactional practices. And while everybody still has their own identities and people still practice in the space, it's largely just basically to integrate everything better to deliver better service to our clients. So there's the integration and collaboration, business development and profile raising, which is really a key component, especially this year's strategy, given the environment that we follow in. And then our cohesiveness as a practice group overall. We did find that certain people that practiced in a number of areas actually were sort of overlapping. And then there were just some challenges in terms of how the business was structured, both from the corporate and security side and then banking and finance. So it made a lot of sense really to put everything together. And then it also is helpful from a talent management perspective in terms of developing our talent, really growing students and associates into great performers in the group that sometimes crossed over a couple of lines. And we were also able to bring people into other offices through our cross office regional staffing. So all of this obviously then is basically to grow revenue and profits for everyone. So this is the collaboration. As you can see, the opportunities, it's basically where we can think about our clients and where we can help them in other areas as well. And not just say, for example, I practice in capital markets, that I just have a capital markets focus, looking at where we can really deliver in the practice group for our clients and really sort of multiple sell the opportunities for them and give them the opportunity to really get the benefit of the entire firm. Just briefly, I wanted to just give you then, so you'll have these names and where people are. There is, in terms of how the group is run, there is an overall steering committee that then has the various practice group areas that have people chairing their local both groups and then also the committees for each area. So you'll see M&A, capital markets, banking, finance, and so on. We also then have the functional areas where it's talent management, knowledge management in terms of training, precedent development, innovation, which is a big driver of the firm. We haven't gotten to where we are without constantly innovating and in how we deliver to our clients. And then of course, business development. So Alan Zoccolillo is the chair of the North American Transactional Practice Group as a whole. There is a steering committee made up. There's Jose, Pepe, and then Jose, and then Veronica, Olivia, and Jorge are the ones on the steering committee. Breaking them down, these are the practice group chairs. Some of them you'll get to know more closely from your offices and what you're working on. And then these are the local sort of office leads in terms of chairing the practice groups in each office within the region. And then there's a talent management committee that largely deals with everything when it comes to recruitment, retention, talent management, compensation of associates, and everything. And what we do is periodically get together and discuss all matters, including things like how morale is, where's development going, how is there anything. We have an associate committee that is also then sort of tasked with letting this talent management committee know what's going on within the talent group. Within the associate group, that then we can make decisions on how to make things hopefully a lot better for people as it goes along. It's our innovation group. And that is a quick whirlwind through of all those slides, which I hope everybody took really good notes. No, I'm just kidding. So in the few minutes that we have, I want to open it up. I'm sure someone in this group has a question, hopefully for Catherine and I, and we can answer that. Or maybe even Catherine, if you want to give a quick example on how you might use a student in your daily practice.
Sure. Well, my practice is mostly M&A and CBTI focused, unlike David, who's more in the capital market space. And I will say that one of the huge upsides of being in the M&A and CBTI world is that you get to be a corporate or transactional attorney, but also engage with your colleagues in various other practice areas. If the client is a big pharmaceutical company, IP and regulatory and employment may be huge aspects of what you do. Tax always from a structuring perspective is huge in our transactions. And so if you're thinking about, you know, where you want to be in the future, what type of attorney at Baker you want to be and what your practice what you want it to look like, I will say just a little bit of a nod towards those two areas because they do get you broad exposure to other folks at the firm, which is nice. To that end, one thing that junior associates do, and you may be involved in a summer associate capacity as well, is due diligence assignments. That's a very common first year associate assignment. And if we're on the buy side, it involves doing a thorough investigation and review of the target company's historical business operations, and then drafting a very long report where you summarize, you know, any material risks of the business that our client, in this example, the buyer, would need to be aware of. We have a lot of precedent at Baker for drafting due diligence reports, both for domestic deals and cross-border transactions. And it's a nice way to get to know folks in other offices as well, if it's a big cross-border engagement. So I typically give at least one due diligence assignment in the summer. And if you find yourselves with due diligence related questions, you can obviously reach out to me because I did that for several years when I was a new joiner at the firm as well.
Great. And I would say, often Catherine, I mentioned to students when they're first starting out or even first year associates is have a look down the road as to what the mid-level associates are involved in, because that would be your life that you're going to get into and then onwards, because, you know, the very junior, as you said, there's a lot of diligence, there's a lot going on and you really have a broad-based experience. But if you start to work with mid-level associates and then the senior associates and even the partners, you'll get a real flavor of what that looks like. And certainly CBTI and the M&A does a whole cross section of the corporate practice. You also become somewhat of a quasi specialist about various jurisdictions around the world on how they do things in terms of what needs to happen first. And there's all these quirks in terms of in terms of jurisdictions in Germany where you have to have them, a notary, sit down and read through all the documents in their office before they will sign off on things, where we had a client that didn't understand exactly why it was going to take so long for this notary to read every document and go through that. But yet that's what it was. So it's definitely a great learning opportunity in terms of what you can get exposed to. And I think we're just all a whole bunch of fun people. questions for our answers. I'm hoping people want to know about our transactional practice group in North America. And
David, I actually have a question that came in over the chat feature, which is where can we find the document precedent that I mentioned? So you should spend a little bit of time on Baker's Harmony website. Yes. In particular, if you load up the corporate webpage, there's precedent materials that are broken down according to each of the sub-practices. And I know our M&A, CBTI, and capital markets precedents are very well organized and broken out by subject area. All of the Baker precedent that I refer to, I'm always starting from the website to find what I need. Another thing that you can do if you're looking for precedent, I know that it's been a bit of a challenge for everyone to get access to the network because we're doing everything virtually. If you're able to access the DM, I always just do a quick search for the type of thing that I'm drafting. So if I'm being asked to draft an assignment agreement, I'll do a search on the DM for assignment agreement. In particular, if I can find a precedent that the assigning attorney worked on, that's great, right? Because you have the subject matter of the document you've been asked to prepare, and also you know that the assigning attorney was involved in that one, so they'd be familiar with that, and you could start there. So those are two places where I go to find precedent.
Yeah, and I think in Toronto, we have someone who sort of manages a knowledge bank even separately. There's a lot of securities, and in the search, she always has it where it's just KB at the beginning of every document she saves, so that if someone were to search KB and then something else in terms of what they were looking for, it would pull up all the documents in that knowledge bank as well. But as Catherine said, the Baker page as well, both Harmony and then the Baker World page for the transactional practice group does have a lot of good sections in terms of precedent development. We also have subscriptions and things like Practical Law, both in the US and Canada, that has a lot of good information. So I believe that would be set up through either the student program or our library IT. People can get people set up on their Westlaw passwords, things like LexisNexis, that gives access to these subscriptions that provide precedent documents, provisions, discussions about, you know, certain provisions, what's market in particular jurisdictions. That's also helpful sometimes that you'll be working with a lawyer on, not that you would be expected to draft as a summer associate a full agreement or anything, but certainly you get to get a sense of what sort of is involved in these transactions. Anybody have a question or pressing concern that they want to have answered?
I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
Just curious what the impact on clients has been of the switch to transactional group. Have you seen a lot more business from that, or is it just charging less overall to clients, or what's been the best?
I would say, like, officially our group was combined. It was almost more of an internal reorganization of the groups, sort of under a major umbrella. So client facing, there's still, you know, we have our practice groups. We have also, we're aligned at Baker amongst industry group lines as well. So it was really, I think it's having a good effect so far in terms of how we cross provide services to clients and be able to find efficiencies. In that sense, I think clients were also on the innovation side, and then certainly in the CBTI space where we're delivering a lot of those tools to clients and using our service centers to help out on staffing things that are that make most sense. Certainly, as you know, clients, especially in this environment, there are a lot of downward cost pressures from clients. They're managing legal spend as well, so we can, you know, we could either just sit back and say, well, this is what it is to hire our firm, or we can constantly look at ways of developing. So I think it's been a positive from clients in terms of their reaction to so far how we're doing things, but it's definitely a work in progress as well. Of course, there's also this environment that we find ourselves right now with COVID in terms of how clients are you know, either putting the brakes on some of their transactions or holding off. But you know, in Canada, we also have a large private equity client that's looking to deploy about $80 billion soon. So they have to do something with that money. And it's just a matter of time. So we want to make sure we're ready for them and being able to deliver what we can. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, I can follow up on that if we have a second.
Sure.
Thanks for the presentation. I guess in terms of the restructuring practice group,
yes.
How has that been developing? From my personal interest, is there a strong practice in the Chicago group, and is it mostly debtor or creditor facing our representations?
I would say so. It wouldn't be so much where it's you're siloed into offices in terms of practices, because, for example, I mentioned Deb, who leads the practice group. She's based in in New York, but she also works with colleagues both cross-border in Canada and Mexico and across the offices. So I would say in this environment, it's largely been more debtor side. And it's obviously a practice area that in very big economic boom times, it's probably quieter than say all of a sudden, fast forward to March where the whole world was put on pause and clients had 95% of their revenue fall off. If you look at, you know, car rental agencies or airlines, cruise ships, et cetera. And so that is certainly, I think, going to be a fairly busy, robust practice area. If that's an interest, I can certainly put you in touch with people in the practice group as an introduction and to say that you have an interest in that work in terms of what we're doing. But I wouldn't limit yourself just to your quote home office, especially now where we're all remote. You know, you can certainly have the benefit of getting on some great restructuring and insolvency deals from wherever the firm, you know, the firm is also very engaged in global R&I work as well that's being led out of the US too. Certainly a lot of great experience coming from there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excuse me, I have another question.
Sure.
Is there like a specific procedure for determining who's the coordinating attorney on a transaction that has multiple jurisdictions, or is it just random, or how does it work?
Yeah, there usually is what we have as quarterbacks and in terms of regional coordinators and things like that. But maybe Catherine, if you want to have a quick shot in terms of explaining that, sort of how those things are managed from your experience.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as you can imagine, when you're dealing with, 25, 50, 75 different jurisdictions, usually we have a large coordination team that's run out of the jurisdiction where the client is based. So for example, if we're representing Abbott or AbbVie, which are two of our big clients in the Chicago office, we have usually partners in Chicago and other offices in North America who will kind of be the level of oversight for the transaction, typically one or maybe two partners. We then would have below them a level of what we refer to as regional coordinators. And this is on the transactional side. Other practice groups may also build out similar teams, for example, to cover tax or employment. But we'll usually have two or three, maybe four or five, depending on the size of the transaction, regional coordinators. And those people will probably oversee anywhere between 5 and 15 specific countries. And then below those people, we will have what we refer to as country coordinators. And those folks will be in charge of directly working with our counsel or coworkers in other countries to implement the transaction. And those people may have, you know, anywhere from like two or three more complicated jurisdictions to four or five, six jurisdictions, if some of those are of a relatively smaller footprint or level of complication. So it's kind of like a little bit of a cascading structure where the people closer to the ground maybe have more involvement in the day-to-day actual implementation of the transaction, to the extent they then have questions or significant or material issues are coming up in their jurisdictions, they then get elevated to the regional coordinators. And if those are global issues, things that we're seeing in multiple countries, we then will have a conversation either at the regional level or with the partners and the client to figure out the path forward. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Great. And I will, I'll just give a plug briefly. I know the summer associates are typically tasked with a pro bono assignment as a group as a whole, I believe. And I think this year the same. Getting involved in the pro bono aspect of the firm is a real great opportunity to really see how this firm is also on the nonprofit side, on helping various charities, on dealing with various events, both regionally, locally, and around the world. Certainly, if you can, if you have the opportunity to get involved in a pro bono project, even outside if there's one big student one, I would certainly recommend that. The various diversity and inclusion opportunities and events and discussions that are happening within the firm certainly is a great way to get integrated into what really the Baker firm is about beyond just the corporate transactional practice or whatever other practice group in terms of legal services. Highly recommend that. It is coming up to 4:45, so I think we probably kept you a little longer than we were supposed to. I know you probably have to get to another one of these. I'll say a last call for any questions or anything that you want. Certainly feel free to reach out directly if you have any follow-up questions or would like to know something. For those of you in Toronto or elsewhere, certainly happy to chat with you about the local practice and also in the region.
Can I go for one more?
Sure.
This is for Catherine. I'm curious on the difference of type of day-to-day work a mid-level associate on an M&A deal might have compared to, one of us working as a first year, second year.
Yeah, I found that when I was transitioning from sort of a junior associate role to mid-level, my drafting responsibilities increased substantially. So mid-level associates, in particular in the M&A space, typically you are preparing the first cut of the purchase agreement. You may also be doing all of the subsequent terms of the purchase agreement, drafting issues lists, drafting ancillary agreements like transition services agreements, distribution agreements, supply agreements, those sort of implementing agreements. So a lot of drafting in particular. I think that holds true for CBTI work as well. Perhaps also for capital markets groups assignments. I know when I was a mid-level, I did a fair amount of securities work with Chris Bartoli, who's a partner in the Chicago office. And we worked with several of our listed clients to prepare a lot of their more voluminous securities filings. So their annual proxy statement, their annual filing, the 10K filing that gets filed in the US with the SEC. You know, those are also big, what I would call drafting assignments. They're a little bit different than, you know, preparing a purchase agreement, for example, but still require you to, you know, put pen to paper, if you will, and prepare what is a very large document. So if you can find ways, in particular, as you're transitioning sort of out of your second year and into your third and fourth year, to take on those drafting assignments, that's always a good thing. They feel very uncomfortable and challenging at the beginning, but it's a necessary part of sort of getting up the learning curve in a law firm.
Yeah, and I think these next couple of years for you, like really, the best thing you can do for yourself is also observe, ask questions about, you know, every lawyer has their own practice style, why they do certain things. It's also based on their knowledge of the client and what they think needs to be sweat as a big issue or what is the small stuff that you can drive on for. Knowing that relationship is key in terms of, so, you know, really also you'll have a great opportunity to learn the black letter practice and legal aspects of things, but also even just the soft skills of practice of law in the firm in terms of how you can really develop your skills and just get integrated into the firm, I think is a really key, because this firm is actually one that you will get out of it what you put into it. I think it has a lot of opportunity for you, both on the practice side, but also just in terms of being a part of the Baker network. I think there'll be a lot to gain from that. So especially in this environment this summer, where you have a really protracted summer, don't be shy about asking questions. Don't be shy about, you know, wondering why something is done compared to what you saw last week or someone else you're working on. And then when you return, you know, in terms of how you take that information, I think that will be very key to your experience. Well, I think I don't want to keep people too long, and I know, Catherine, you need to get back to your day as well. So I want to thank everybody for joining today on this quick little Zoom through the transactional practice group. Again, welcome to the firm. I hope you guys have a great experience, and we're around. If you have any questions, certainly feel free to reach out both to your student coordinators and people running the program, but also just to the practicing lawyers that you're going to deal with on a daily basis, because they always have great insight. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good day and enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.